It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, August 6th. I'm Patricia Naft. On Tuesday, the Hotchkiss Fire Department responded to three blazes in the North Fork Valley. Doug Fritz is Hotchkiss Fire Chief.
We had a lightning strike fire on the side of Oak Mesa from the previous night's giant lightning storm, and simultaneously there was a RV that had a propane refrigerator catch on fire at the fairgrounds. And then right before sunset, there was a tree that was in a power line causing some sparks on Willow Heights.
He says the RV caused $10,000 worth of damage, but no one was hurt and the other two blazes were manageable. Fritz says after the lightning storm earlier this week, the fire department also asked the state to deploy a specialized fire spotting aircraft over the area.
This plane has state-of-the-art sensing and cameras, and it flies over the area at about 20,000 feet and is able to do a quick sweep of the area. It's really exacting, looking for small fires.
Fritz says the aircraft scanned Delta and Mesa counties and only found one small blaze. He says this is the second time the fire department requested deployment of the plane. A traffic stop on Tuesday in Mesa County resulted in the arrest of two men and the seizure of a large amount of methamphetamine and cocaine. A deputy assigned to the Western Colorado Drug Task Force pulled over 27-year-old Jesus Galvez of Arizona and 36-year-old Faustino Martinez of Mexico on I-70. Authorities say they discovered more than 6 pounds of meth and 8 pounds of cocaine in the vehicle the men were using. Galvez and Martinez were later booked into the Mesa County Detention Facility on charges of felony drug distribution. An Ophir man reportedly committed suicide after being involved in a car accident. The San Miguel County Sheriff's Office says 26-year-old Adam DePeters died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. Authorities say DePeters attended a party on Tuesday night and drove home with a friend. It's reported DePeters wrecked the vehicle and left the scene. His friends told officers they picked up his passenger and called 911. Authorities say his friends found him back at their rental cabins where they told him they phoned in the accident. They say he became upset because he had a recent DUI arrest. After that, DePeters reportedly ran to his cabin where he shot himself with a revolver. Emergency responders pronounced him dead on the scene. Authorities say toxicology results will determine if alcohol played a role in his death. Local health officials say a Norwood cat recently died from plague. The San Miguel County Department of Health says the state notified it that a domestic cat tested positive for plague and died in quarantine in July. Plague is an infectious bacterial disease that can result in illness or death without prompt treatment. At least two died from the disease in Colorado so far this year. A felony DUI law for repeated drunk drivers in Colorado went into effect yesterday. Benta Berklin has more from the state capitol.
Until now, Colorado had been one of only a handful of states where repeat drunk drivers received only misdemeanor charges. But now, if a person is convicted of a fourth DUI, they could face prison time. Republican Representative Lori Sain of Firestone was one of the main sponsors of the bill.
Habitual drunk drivers in Colorado should face more serious consequences for reckless behavior.
Sain says countless victims and families have testified and lobbied for the proposal over the years. A bipartisan bill failed last year when Senate Democrats worried about the cost. The price tag for the state is estimated to be $2 to $4 million each year. I'm Benta Berklin at the state capitol.
Colorado is currently developing its first ever statewide water plan. KVNF's Jake Ryan recently talked about the plan with Sarah Torrey, an editorial fellow at High Country News.
Well, Sarah, thanks for coming in. To start off, could you tell us about why Colorado needs a water plan?
Yeah, in 2013, Colorado was deep into a prolonged drought, one that's still going on right now. And forecasts were saying 2.5 million Coloradans could be without sufficient water supplies by 2050. So that prompted Governor Hickenlooper to issue an executive order calling for the state to draft its first ever water plan. And to do that, representatives from each of the state's 8 river basins plus the Denver metro area have been charged with defining their water needs and coming up with solutions for future demand. And the Colorado Water Conservation Board is the group in charge of creating that plan, and it'll then incorporate input from these what's called basin roundtables.
They're working on several drafts as they try to put this massive document together.
Yes.
A newest draft just came out a little while ago. Was there anything notable in that?
Yeah, a couple things. First was the chapter 10, and that had sort of been a blank slate before. And it is sort of like an action plan that describes how exactly the state will deal with this doubling of population that's expected in the face of climate change and extended drought. So it doesn't set out priorities or timelines for specific things, but it does include a statewide conservation target of 400,000 acre feet of water.
And what is an acre feet?
An acre foot. So it's a measurement of water. 1 acre foot is typically considered enough for 2 households per year. The other thing is this revised framework that's supposed to guide discussions of any new Trans Mountain Diversion project. And it sets out some pretty strict conditions that any new project would have to meet to go forward. And basically, that's important because it acknowledges this trade-off between developing new supplies from the Colorado River Basin and security for existing uses, which is another way of saying you can't rob Peter to pay Paul. So you can't develop a new water project, like divert more water out of the Colorado River, if it would risk the yield of existing projects. So that's a big deal because only recently have water managers sort of actually been laying that out in black and white and really acknowledging that risk.
So the new plan lays out rules that says that no extra projects can be developed that would take water from the Western Slope to the Front Range if there's any danger of the Western Slope and the rest of the states that depend on that water not having enough water.
Yes, yes. Let's say, you know, we have all these existing Trans Mountain diversions already, and no new project could threaten the viability of those existing projects, which means their ability to draw their full allotment of water.
So does that effectively put the brakes on any new project?
Well, that's a thorny subject. From people I've talked to, there's a lot of people who say, yes, effectively it does, unless, of course, we get a lot of wet years. It's going to be very hard to build a new Trans Mountain diversion going forward because if drought conditions get worse, which, you know, they are, if you look at the climate models, they are predicted to, it's going to be very risky to take more water out of the system under these conditions. But, you know, that being said, there are those who say, like critics, who say that just by having the guidelines, no matter how restrictive, the plan tacitly endorses new Trans Mountain diversions. They want the option completely off the table.
What is the next step for the Colorado Water Plan, Dina?
There's another draft that comes out in September, and right now they're collecting comments on the second draft, and those will be incorporated. And then the final plan is due on Governor Hickenlooper's desk, I believe, sometime in December.
That was Sarah Torrey with High Country News speaking to KVNF's Jake Ryan. Stay tuned for Lily and the Sweet Sound. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.